$1 per day.
The Joe Rogan.
The Zionist thing is, define the difference between Jewish and Zionist.
Okay.
Oh, there's so much inaccuracy in that. I was surprised. If that's an example, it shows he really knows nothing about this issue and let a propagandist go on and on and on.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. And we got a very important topic that we're covering with our special guest, Allison Weir. Is a freelance journalist, a activist, and someone who has dedicated her life to this topic. Many would consider her and argue that she's a scholar and academic in this area with a profound amount of knowledge. And that's why we're bringing her on to help educate us on the issue of Palestine and Israel. Let's bring on our special guest, Allison.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, we're honored to have you, Allison. How are you doing?
I had my coffee, it's early here in San Francisco, and I'm very happy to be on your program.
We're very happy to have you. And did I miss anything out?
I think you covered it. I've been working on this for about 20 years now.
20 years. And your organization's name is If Americans Only Knew.
Yes. Well, the official name is If Americans Knew.
If Americans Knew. Let's start with that. I mean, that's a catchy title. Like, if Americans knew what?
Well, there's so much. But the main thing is if Americans knew that we are involved in Israel-Palestine, that we are a central player in this issue. Most of us think, oh, it has something to do with our Jewish friends or our Muslim friends. So most Americans don't know that we're very involved in what they think is a distant, confusing issue. So if Americans knew that we are very involved, that we give Israel much, much over $10 million per day.
The Joe Rogan.
And if Americans knew what Israel is doing with our money. The injustice, the violence, the oppression, the cruelty, then I think we would demand that U.S. policies change. So that's, I guess, the synopsis.
Go ahead and subscribe right now. Hit that notification bell. Help us get our numbers back up. Did you know that many years ago, the Dean Show, when we started 2006, we used to broadcast for many years on the Khalifa Clothing Channel, currently known as Digital Minbar. So we're trying to get our numbers back up because the channel at that time got closed. Then we started the official Dean Show channel. We're trying to get our numbers back up to where they should be. And that's this number here, 855, combined what we currently have, 442. We should be over 1,200,000 subscribers. Help us to get our numbers back to where they should be. With that small setback that we had many years ago, you guys can help us by subscribing right now and hitting that notification bell. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the show. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget to support us on our Patreon page. I want to get your reaction. We're going to go to mainstream. Mainstream meaning, you know, what's typically put out there where people usually get and form their ideas. And then we're going to come back to actually where you were at one point in your life, you know, the kind of understanding that you had. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the Joe Rogan Show.
I've heard of that. Yes, I know it's very famous. I don't know much about it, though.
It's a very famous program. So we're going to go ahead and get your reaction to this topic that they're discussing. So if you want me to stop at any point, let me know. But we'll continue on for at least a few minutes.
And,
okay.
All right.
Experience.
The Zionist thing is, define the difference between Jewish and Zionist.
Okay. Zionist is the idea of that the Jews have a right to national self-determination. The Jewish, should I keep going?
Yeah, please.
You looked at me like
No.
The Jewish longing to return to the land of Israel is something that's like inescapable if you read the Bible, right? Like it's all over there. The whole idea of, and you can discount it, discount God, whatever. The fact is that the Jews are a people that were birthed sort of in this land, which we now call the land of Israel. And they somehow, and they were expelled by the Romans around 2,000 years ago. And then they came back to that land, right? It's like they defied the logic of history in doing that. Because by all rights, they were an indigenous group to that land. They were kicked out and expelled. And then they went back 2,000 years later. Like, it's a crazy, extraordinary story. So leave that to one part. Zionism, the way that I think is the simplest definition, is the belief in the Jewish right to self-determination, and it's the Jewish liberation movement. And so let's go back to like pre-1948, which is the year that the State of Israel is established. And you have Jews in, you know, Poland and all of these other places debating, like, what is the way that we can solve our constant, like, the systemic oppression that we are constantly enduring? And there were all of these different responses to that problem. One argument was the socialist argument, you know, the anti-capitalist argument. If the problem is capitalism, and if only we defeat capitalism, anti-Semitism will go away. Some argued that total assimilation was the right way to solve it. We just need to kind of disappear as Jews. That's the only way we'll be fully accepted. And another group, you know, which was not even the most popular group, is this idea of we need to be able to determine our own fate. And we will never be fully accepted. The only way that we can determine our own fate is this idea of us having our own state and our own army where we can protect ourselves. And that is ultimately the idea that sort of wins out. So when you're having a debate about, you know, when people say today they're an anti-Zionist,
yeah,
the reason that that is so problematic is they're not making that argument in 1920s Eastern Europe when the state doesn't exist. It's one thing to be an anti-Zionist in theory, right? It's the same. The analogy I like to make is if we're a couple and we want to have a baby and we're debating, should we have the baby? Can we afford the baby? Where are we going to send the baby to school? All this stuff. That's a totally moral argument to make. You can't make that argument of should we have the baby after the baby is born. The baby is born. It exists. Israel exists. It's a place. It's not an idea. It's not an abstraction. It is a place that contains the largest Jewish community on planet Earth. And so when people say that Israel doesn't have a right to exist, it's like, what are you talking about? It exists. So what do you want? So I asked the person that makes the anti-Zionist argument, what do you imagine will happen? Like, do you think that you're advocating for a genocide right away? Or, like, you have to have no sense of Middle Eastern history or politics to make the argument that you can be a minority in that region without protection. We know what that looks like. That looks like the story of the Yazidis. It looks like the story of the Kurds, the story of the Zoroastrians, the story, frankly, of Christians who are going to be completely expelled from the Middle East within the next decade, which is a story no one talks about.
So the anti-Zionist sentiment, when people start talking about Zionists, what they're essentially talking about is Israel just existing.
Yes.
Like, they're anti-Israel existing.
Correct.
All right, Allison, what are your thoughts?
Oh, there's so much inaccuracy in that. I was surprised. My impression had been very positive about Joe Rogan, just the things I've heard about him. But if that's an example, it shows he really knows nothing about this issue and let a propagandist go on and on and on with misstatements without questioning them or bringing up any real facts about it. So I ended up just having to take notes because almost every sentence she said was incorrect. If you'll give me a few minutes, I'll try to go through this. And keep in mind, I'm not Arab or Muslim or Palestinian. I have no family connections to any of those cultures. I'm not Jewish. So when I began to look into this issue 20 years ago, I was very sympathetic to Israel. That's the way most Americans are brought up. We're acutely aware of the Nazis and what they did, and very sympathetic to Israel because of the Nazis, and because of the news coverage that we've gotten for decades. That's sort of like what we just saw now on Joe Rogan. So when I began to look into this, I was coming from a pro-Israel perspective, but just wanting the full, honest picture. So the information I'll give you now is what I found, not because I expected to find it or wanted to find it, but this is what you discover when you actually look at the real facts. Her definition of Zionism is quite a misrepresentation. The fact that Jews have the, quote, right to self-determination, misses the point. What Zionism has said is that Jews have the, quote, right to self-determination on someone else's land, that they have the right to expel an entire population so that they can take it over for a Jewish state. That's what Zionism was and what it remains today. So one could even question, I'm not sure if Presbyterians have a right to their own state, or Zoroastrians have a right to their own state, or I'm not sure anyone has a right to their own state just because we exist. We have a right to exist. I think we have a right to try to bring up our children in safety and to prosper. But Zionism was the claim that it was that Jews had the right and the need to take over someone else's land. What she leaves out is that when this movement began in the late 1800s, it didn't begin in 1948. It was a political movement that began in the late 1800s. Most Jews around the world, Jewish Americans, Jews in Europe, Jews in the region itself of Palestine, did not embrace it. Most did not become Zionists. Quite a few actively opposed it. Now, she talks about the Bible supposedly endorsing political Zionism. No, it didn't. In fact, the people who have been some of the most vehement against Zionism from the very beginning were observant religious Jews who considered this a heresy. Yes, Jews were expelled. They believe this was done really by God. The Romans did it, but they feel that it was God's will because they had broken commandments of various types. They had broken the covenant and therefore were expelled. This was the theology that was prevalent at the time that Zionism began and is still held by many observant Jews. So this was considered, they were not supposed to go back at the point of a gun. This was heresy. This is not what the Bible decreed or said. So she's inaccurate about that. She's saying that they came back. They came back. Well, I have ancestors, much more recent than 2,000 years ago, who left parts of Europe, who left Scotland, Wales, Germany, Poland. I don't feel I have the right to go back and take over those lands. And yet they're talking about people whose ancestors left 2,000 years ago. And by the way, many left voluntarily. Yes, there was an expulsion, but there were people that left after that. There were people that came back after that. So this is a misrepresentation of history. I think it's also good to point out that not every Jewish American or Jew around the world has ancestry there. So even that is inaccurate. She's calling it an indigenous group. Well, at the time that political Zionism began, the Jewish population of Palestine was a little under 5%. 80% of the indigenous population were Muslim. 15% of the indigenous population were Christian. So this was a movement that planned to get rid of, one way or another, 95% of the indigenous population, to intentionally get rid of 95% of the indigenous population so that they could take it over for an exclusively ethno-religious state. That's what Zionism was. She's saying it's the belief of Jews around the world. No, it wasn't. Most Jews in the United States said, we're Americans. We like it here. This is a good place for us. We're not interested in going to some place in the Middle East that we really feel a religious connection, just as Christians feel a religious connection to Bethlehem. But we don't feel that we have the right or even the desire to go and take over Bethlehem. So that was incorrect. She implies that this started in 1948 when Israel did unilaterally declare that they were creating a Jewish state in Palestine. The way they did it, by the way, was by warfare. a war of ethnic cleansing, as a you know, very good Jewish Israeli historian has a book called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. He documents very thoroughly that this was a war of ethnic cleansing, that they expelled through force at least 750,000 people. Some have said it was 1 million, but it was probably at least 750,000 people were expelled through this war of ethnic cleansing. And additional people were expelled in 1967 and since that time. So when Zionists say they had the right to create a Jewish state, what they are saying is that they had the right to forcibly expel men, women, and children from their homes, from their ancestral land. If anybody says Israel has the right to exist, what they are saying, but most people don't know this, Zionists know it, but other people that say that don't know. They are saying that a political movement had the right to forcibly, cruelly, extremely violently expel a population from their homes. I don't think anybody has the right to do that. I don't care who they are. I don't think that is a right. In fact, I think it is our... I believe it's the world's obligation anytime that occurs, no matter who is doing it, that it is our obligation to oppose such injustice. So, you know, she's trying to say anti-Zionists are, you know, she's implying they're anti-Semitic, that this is wrong to be anti-Zionists. What anti-Zionists mean is that they support the rights of all people to remain in their homes. They support the universal belief of human rights applies to all people, and the Palestinians are not an exception to those internationally recognized rights. It is an internationally recognized right that refugees have the right to return to their homes. In wars, many people flee their homes. Afterwards, they have the right, and most return to their homes. When the United States defeated Japan and for a while occupied it, we did not take over the land. We did not expel Japanese and say, now this is part of America. We've conquered it. We get it. We didn't do that. One reason we didn't do that is it violates international law. You're not allowed to do that according to international law. We defeated Germany. We didn't take over Germany and say, oh, this is now part of the United States. We won the war. We get it. That's not what we did. That's not what is permitted. The only reason Israel has permitted to do it is because they have wielded massive power through the United States. They, you know, might, according to them, makes right, but in reality, might does not make right. It lets you get away with things, at least for a while, but it is does not make it right or ethical or moral to do that. So I guess that's a short summary of this issue.
Wow, you really just dismantled her arguments. Would you be willing if Joe Rogan sees this and he's like, okay, you know what? I got to be more fair and balanced. I really got to represent things in the right way. And he reached out to have you on the program. Would you be willing to come on to the Joe Rogan show?
I would love to do that. And I think if he is someone who's attempting to be fair and honest, and my impression has been that that's the kind of person he is. So if that's who he is, he would invite me to come on. And I'd be very happy to do that. So I'm now in advance accepting an invitation of that sort.
There you go, Joe. You see, we got the connection made. Allison is ready to be on the Joe Rogan show to have a more balanced and healthy discussion on this matter. Tell us, Allison, another thing you talk about, as we look at our country here, our beautiful country here, many places in America look, you know, when you go down in certain places, they look war-torn, you know, homelessness, poverty, healthcare, education on many places, just, you know, the budget's low, we don't have the money. But if we took, tell us, you talk about the extraordinary amount of money that actually goes towards this movement out there. And how much of that money, if it was allocated for these things I mentioned, would actually solve the problems that we have at home?
It's huge. I mean, that's one of the things when I started looking into this, I was shocked when I discovered how much money we sent to Israel. It's my tax money. Normally, we know these things. You know, we don't know where all of our taxes go, of course, but when there's a huge part of it that goes somewhere, normally we would all know that. It's known in the Middle East that we give this amount, a huge amount of money to Israel, but most Americans don't know it. As I said, it's over $10 million per day. That works out to something like $7,000 per minute, I believe it was. And that's not all of it. That's just the money that goes to Israel. On top of that are a lot of additional allotments, some of which go to Israel, but many go to other countries and other projects on behalf of Israel. Our tax money was used to buy off the Egyptian government from supporting Palestinian human rights. Our tax money has been used to buy off the Jordanian government from supporting Palestinian human rights. And there are other cases about that. I wrote a detailed article about it. Those additional amounts come to at least $9 million per day. So we're talking about now $19 million per day of American tax money on behalf of a foreign country. This is bizarre. It eclipses the amount of money we've given to other countries through the years. I don't remember the exact quantity that it has amounted to, and you always have to change that into today's dollars. So we're talking about many billions of dollars. I think it may be in the trillions. It's on our website. I don't remember the exact number right now. If people go to ifamericansknew.org, they can see all of these facts, and the website is very transparent. You can click on things and find out where the source of that particular statistic or fact comes from.
Can you share with us the typical day in life of Palestinians, via Christian Palestinians, Muslim Palestinians, those people who live in that land that people don't understand, you know, their day-to-day life and struggles that they go through?
A wonderful question, because that's another thing. Even people that are now attuned to what just happened in Gaza think it's over. It's not anywhere near over. Every single day, there's an excellent website, a news organization called IMEMC. I'm actually going to it right this minute so I can give you pretty much in real time what happened in the last 24 hours or days, weeks, months. What happened, but I saw this personally. Every day, Israeli forces invade Palestinian towns and villages. Every single day. This isn't once every few years the way our media suggests. It happens every single day. Armed soldiers go into somebody else's land that they're militarily occupying, but it's not their land, and they beat people up, they abduct people, they injure people, they often destroy farmers' fields, they often destroy farmers' trees, fairly frequently they humiliate people, injure children. Every so often they kill someone. This is what daily life is like. We made a video about it because we realized people have no idea that this is even going on. Imagine if where I live in Northern California, armed soldiers would come in and parade around, invade my house, control our movements, perhaps take my son, that would be not unusual, imprison people for as long as they wish without any charge whatsoever. Israel is claimed to be a democracy. They violate democratic principles all the time. They hold people in prison without even charging them for a crime. When they do find them, quote, guilty, it's usually by basically a kangaroo court. So let's look at what happened. I'm just going to scroll through the news reports by IMEMC. Palestinian Ramallah dies of his wounds from Israeli aggression. Israeli troops demolished the village of Al-Araqib village for the 188th time. This happened June 2nd. Israeli troops abduct 17 Palestinians in pre-dawn raids, including a 13-year-old. An Israeli soldier shoots a 73-year-old Palestinian woman in the village of Yabad, southwest of Jenin. This is in the northern West Bank. 500 new Israeli settlers, which are actually Israeli colonists, arrive in Palestine. Soldiers bulldoze Palestinian land near Nablus. That's the northern West Bank. That's Palestinian land. They've now bulldozed it. Demolished a tent, two barns, and confiscated solar panels near Hebron. That's in the West Bank. This goes on and on and on.
What website is this? What news agency is this? Working?
It's IMEMC.org News. It's an international Israel. Middle East Media Center.
Okay, this and is where people can go. You won't find none of this on CNN or ABC, NBC, huh?
No. And this is going on every day. It's documented every day.
Why don't we see this on CNN, ABC, NBC, mainstream media?
Well, I think there are several reasons. One reason is that mainstream media gives us Israeli-centric reporting. That's the simple matter. They don't give us neutral reporting. They don't give us what I feel is objective reporting. They're very centered on Israel. They're reporters in the region, the Associated Press, the oldest and largest news agency in the world. Its bureau to cover this issue is in Israel. Most of its staff members are Jewish and or Israelis. So they have, I feel they have a very, very biased way of reporting. There are some exceptions. Always there's, you know, every rule has an exception. So this isn't 100%, but that's the basic trend. The other thing is that the oddity of this is that people in the region, that includes journalists, know that this goes on every day. So to them, that's, you know, news is what happens that's unusual. So when there's a major invasion of Gaza, for example, that's news. To them, oh, that happens every day. Oh, they abducted, you know, 13 people. They shot a woman. They bulldozed people's land. That's not news because it happens every day. So to them, it's not news because it happens every day. But to Americans, it would be news because they have no idea this happens every day.
We're almost out of time. I just wanted to finish off with mentioning that you also talk about, tell us, I did a video talking about the Holocaust survivor, Dr. Gabor Mate. He's one example of a person who is just speaking truth. He sees the many injustices that are going on over there. He's Jewish. Just illustrating this point, this is not about being anti-Jewish, anti-Israeli. You also have my friend, I consider, Miko Pilit. I don't know if you've heard of him. He wrote the book called The General Son. I've had Rabbi Weiss on the program, Orthodox Jew. And then you also have people from the military there and others who are protesting this, who refuse orders. So talk about this also, this element that also, the human element, because this is a human thing. You know, when you see babies, you know, children being, you know, blown to pieces. I mean, just if the human doesn't come out of you, then what do you have left? Can you comment on this?
Yes, I think that's very important. It's there is dissent in Israel. There are soldiers that have refused to take part in what the military is doing, both high-ranking soldiers and young soldiers. This has gone on for many years. There are many Jewish Americans and Jewish people around the world who are actively and publicly dissenting. Now, in the United States, the Jewish establishment, every major national Jewish organization supports and advocates for Israel. That's the sad reality. You can go through the list. We have the list on our website. So they try to portray it as all Jews support and advocate for what Israel is doing, which is a terrible thing to try to tell people. Because then when people see what Israel did in Gaza, they're being told, oh, all Jews support that. And that is not the case. The Jewish leadership, I'm sad to say, does. They publicly advocate for Israel time after time, but that does not represent the whole Jewish population at all, and it never has.
If someone wants to learn more, Joe Rogan wants to get in contact with you. He sees the program. He's like, you know what? The human side kicks in. He's like, I got to get to the truth. And he wants to have an academic, a scholar in this area, someone like yourself on. How can anyone get a hold of you or to learn more, or Joe Rogan?
We can make it happen.
I would love it to happen. Our website is ifamericansknew.org. Americansknew.org. Contact information is there, an email address, a phone number. I also hope people will read my book. It's called Against Our Better Judgment. It's available on Amazon. It sold over 50,000 copies despite diverse efforts to suppress the book. It's been an Amazon bestseller in a number of categories. It goes into a history of the subtitle is, the full title is Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. So this gives a background to this issue that very few people knew. It's fully cited. In fact, the book is over half footnotes. So everything in the book, I provide the source citation. I hope people will look at that. If you don't remember the title, it's a long one. If you go to ifamericansknew.org, the book, there's a link to the book there.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much, Allison, for being with us here on The Dean Show. God willing, we can have you back again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Go ahead and subscribe right now. Hit that notification bell. Help us get our numbers back up. Did you know that many years ago, The Dean Show, when we started 2006, we used to broadcast for many years on the Khalifa Clothing Channel, currently known as Digital Minbar. So we're trying to get our numbers back up because the channel at that time got closed. Then we started the official Dean Show channel. We're trying to get our numbers back up to where they should be. And that's this number here, 855, combined what we currently have, 442. We should be over 1,200,000 subscribers. Help us to get our numbers back to where they should be. With that small setback that we had many years ago, you guys can help us by subscribing right now and hitting that notification bell. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget to support us on our Patreon page.